Welcome to another special episode of Atlanta's only pro-business radio talk show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Buckhead inside the Business Radio X studios. Yes, indeed. It is that time. Time for Georgia Business Radio. Today is Friday, August 28th, 2015. And I'm your host, Ryan Redhawk McPherson. And I'll be spotlighting some industry leaders here who are doing business in the state of Georgia. And as we always say, Rich, Georgia Business Radio from Atlanta to Savannah or Waycross to Norcross. If you're doing business in Georgia, we want you on this show. And that is Rich Casanova.
Yes, pointing to me, Rich Casanova, the producer, engineer, Waycross to Norcross. That's a new one. You're throwing in, every week a new city gets a shout out.
Well, we love the state of Georgia. I am a local guy born and raised in the Atlanta area, and I just love the way Atlanta is thriving with business and is growing and moving throughout the state.
I mean, it's so many spectrums. And on this show in particular, the mission is to highlight industry leaders and thought leaders throughout the state of Georgia. So for people tuning in, maybe mention a couple of our sponsors and also how they find out about the show.
Right. Make sure you go to GeorgiaBusinessRadio.com if you want this show and more of our past shows. You can hear about all of our guests or follow us on Twitter at GeorgiaBizRadio. Also, we're on Facebook, so you can find us there at Georgia Business Radio. And this show is brought to you in part today by AtlantaBusinessNetworking.com, connecting Atlanta professionals via an online directory, listing over 200 networking events taking place in and around the city. So make sure you visit AtlantaBusinessNetworking.com. Also, OnsiteBusinessRadio.com, where professional radio correspondents conducting interviews at business events. You can go to OnsiteBusinessRadio.com for more information about that.
That's kind of the radio roadshow, right?
It is. Stand-up interviews conducted right there at your business event.
Not stand-up comedy, but stand-up interviews.
Right. This is a sit-down interview we're going to be doing here today in studio.
We may have over-described that already, yeah. Right. Let's jump into the show. Right. Who do you have joining us?
We have three intriguing and exciting guests that we want to introduce. First, Candy Crost. How are you doing this morning, Candy?
Doing fantastic. Thanks so much for having me.
Our pleasure. And you are a ghostwriter.
That is correct.
Tell us a little bit about that briefly.
Some people call me a private writer.
Okay.
So I will be speaking today about the power and process of writing your life story, mm-hmm. whether you do it yourself or you hire a ghostwriter.
Interesting. Oh, wow. And have you written a book yourself?
Yes, I have.
Okay. We'll look forward to hearing more about that. Listeners, hang on and stick with us as now we turn our attention to our other guest, John Parisi. He is head of customer marketing at Cabbage, Inc. How are you doing, John?
Very well. Thank you.
And tell us just briefly about Cabbage and what you're doing to change the world.
Well, Cabbage provides lines of credit of up to $100,000 to small businesses. And it's really how we're doing it. It's very quick, very easy. So excited to talk about it.
Yeah, and definitely looking forward to hearing more about that. You guys were recently ranked 36th out of 500, according to Inc. magazine.
Yeah, as far as fastest growing companies.
So that's interesting.
Cool.
Wow.
Cool.
That is up there. And I was looking at the website, and you guys have a great website, lots of detail. But you've had some high-profile media attention as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So it's been a pretty fun ride. I mean, as far as Cabbage's growth, especially over the last couple of years.
And how long have you been there?
I've been there a little over a year now.
Okay. Well, please stick with us, and we'll look forward to hearing more about that as we turn our attention now to our headlining guest, Mr. Jim Satterfield.
I think that means last. I'm not sure.
He is president and founder and COO of Firestorm. Jim is nationally recognized as an expert on crisis management, threat assessment, disaster preparedness, and business continuity planning. He is an expert, has experience as president and COO of various public and private companies in the business community, communications, crisis management, environmental, insurance, reassurance, risk management, and technology. Jim led the Firestorm team that provided the crisis and media management support at Virginia Tech in response to the shootings, as well as a dozen other crises. So welcome to the show, Jim.
Thank you.
Yeah, so tell us, I mean, this is a hot topic. This is something that's affecting all of us across the nation on a regular basis.
Unfortunately, crisis is a growth business. As you look at the events that are happening around us, there are 2 million episodes of workplace violence annually in the United States. Just this week, we had the death of the reporter and cameraman. But if you look back into that there were indicators that would say this person is a risk and a threat. And so we're concerned around behaviors of concern and identifying that. So whether it's violence in the workplace or in the classroom or fraud or theft or communicable illness or tornadoes, those are all events that we respond to and help with and have done so for over a decade.
So as a crisis coach, do you only respond once the crisis has happened, or can you prepare a company for the possibility of a crisis?
Well, we much prefer to arrive before. Right. We follow a predict, plan, perform process, predict what the vulnerabilities and threats are, what are their impacts, how do we monitor them, what are the triggers. The plans are all around crisis. Could be business continuity, communicable illness, cybersecurity, physical security. All of those elements are coming together in playing in those elements. And then under the perform, we would do the training, the exercises, the supplies, and the monitoring. We create intelligence networks to be able to see something happen. We want to identify that gun before it comes to work or before it comes to school. And so we create these intelligence networks to monitor those events.
Yeah, that's very interesting because a crisis can come from anywhere. It may not just be human cause. It may be environmental cause. It may be cybersecurity. And so how can you put a plan together prior to that? You can't plan for everything.
Well, but the good news is a lot of the actions that you take work regardless of what the cause was. If something was happening to the building we were in, then we would need a plan on how do we evacuate, how do we shelter in place, or how do we lock out if there's a physical threat. And then everybody needs to understand it. Plans must be actionable. And so looking at those differences and making sure that everyone is aware of what's going on is where we focus. So we get most of our exposure around the crisis work we do. We make most of our money in the planning side of what we do.
I see. Right. And as a organization or a company leader out there, you got to be a little forward thinking and not expecting this to happen, but you better plan for it to happen.
Well, our largest competitor is disaster denial. It's not going to happen to me.
Yeah.
It's not so bad. And I'm smarter than everybody else. Mm-hmm. And so once you realize that's your company and that's area, that is your area, every crisis is a human crisis. And the worst disaster you'll ever see is the one that hits your company, your family, or your home.
Right. And then once it does, in a lot of cases, it motivates you to help others. Did you have experience in the past disaster in a personal level? Or what motivated you to, you know, take Firestorm and lead this charge?
My background was in insurance and reinsurance. I'm an engineer from Georgia Tech, by the way. And in working in the insurance industry, you're trying to make someone whole after the effect. What we wanted to do was to try to arrive there in advance to see if we could mitigate or prevent. Mm-hmm. And so it was a shift in focus. So it's the identification and quantification of risk that led to the founding of Firestorm. And it was after 9/11 and right at the Katrina event. And one of the findings of the 9/11 Commission is that 85% of the infrastructure in America is in the private sector. So we think about governments. We think about FEMA and Homeland Security. But if you want to see America prepared, you have to get businesses prepared. You get your groceries at a company. You get your gas at a company. You don't get it from the government. So until we get industry, until we get every business prepared, we won't be ready.
Right. And you just mentioned Katrina. I think we just came upon the 10-year anniversary of that. What are some of the lessons that you've learned or Firestorm has implemented since those 10 years?
Well, I think there's always the concern of time and access. You have the luxury of a calendar before an event. Once the event happens, you're on the watch and you're on the clock, and mm-hmm. it's seconds matter. Mm-hmm. And then having access to your supplies, to your information, to your plan. The smartest thing you can do today is make sure your plan is on your smartphone.
Yep.
Because no one's more than 3 feet away from a device.
Right.
And most companies don't put their plans in the palms of the hands of their employees.
Mm-hmm. And so you want all the employees to be trained on this. This is not something that just the upper management team should be privy to.
Well, there are different plans for different levels. Everybody needs to know the emergency plan. What do we do if this happens and respond to those areas? And you have to have response from your emergency team or your incident team, the fire wardens, if you think back to the older schedules and plans. And then plans for senior management, because we're focused here on consequence management. This will define your brand or reputation for years to come.
And you're right. We mentioned a minute ago the fire drills that we used to do in school, or the tornado drill that we used to do at school. This is kind of the same plan, and so that when something does happen, it becomes what we call in the Army a battle drill. You don't have to think about it. You just react.
Well, the military does a great job of, one, everybody understands the mission that they're involved in, and it takes precedent over everything else. But then the practice and the discipline of drilling it, everyone knows their role if someone else goes down. We're just about to start football season here. I don't think there's a football coach in the state or in the Southeast that's saying, well, let's just show up and we'll figure it out on game day, yeah. is not going to win a major game for you during the year.
Yeah, I don't think Paul Johnson over there at Georgia Tech coaches his players like that.
Yeah, I think he's got some idea of what he wants to do.
Yeah, and he keeps it pretty close to the vest. You know, I know he does. He doesn't even like to talk to the media about what his strategy
well,
is.
Well, here's the inside. I think Tech will run the ball.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, this year especially. So an intelligence network, what does that involve? Does that involve the whole organization, or is that just a few people within the organization?
If someone has ill intent, 80% of the time, a second person knows. 67% of the time, two or more people know. And when people know, they talk. You know, the old joke about two people can keep a secret if one is dead. Well, at this point in time, people are talking. And where do they talk? They talk on social media. You guys are masters at getting out what's going on. And I know he's shooting some pictures as we're talking today, and that information is flowing out. But if you go on social media, there are two things to do. One is listen. What's being said? Are there behaviors of concern? Are there indicators that would be warning signs that you could take a look at? And then once you identify a person of concern, say somebody like you, Ryan, which would obviously be immediately aware to everybody, and then you look at your sphere of influence. Who else are you talking to? What are those circles? And we have the ability to go back in time and see what you were saying last Tuesday and the Tuesday before that,
right.
and putting it together. So we're looking at these patterns of behavior to be able to predict and intervene beforehand. We took a Fortune 10 company and put up a geofence around their warehouse and identified an employee there who made over 120 posts in a 1 8-hour shift. So you're figuring, this guy must not have a lot to do. He might be in the radio business. And so...
I'm sorry.
You woke back up. Yeah, it's so good to have you back.
I just deleted those photos I was taking.
By the way, it's a very quiet atmosphere here. Everybody's got pillows and they're laying around taking naps, so it works out well.
Good cover.
But in that aspect of it, he... started posting that he was having problems with his supervisor. Mm-hmm. And then he made comments that these problems were racial. And as the postings, and he was sending this out to hundreds and hundreds of people, his last comment was, there's only one way to solve this, and that's with a gun. I'm bringing a gun to work tomorrow. Now, would you like to know that today, or do you want to know it tomorrow when that employee walked through the door with a gun? And so that's the direction that we're trying to focus on. And these intelligence networks can lead to that predictive, actionable intelligence.
Right. And with this recent episode where we had earlier this week with the journalists, but there were red flags. There were signs that this guy was going to do, but no one intervened. I think that is the tipping point here where people don't know what to do, especially from a management standpoint. What is within the laws, legally, and can you be held responsible? You know, how do you intervene in the correct way?
Well, and that's where you'd want to have a behavioral risk threat assessment program so that everybody's aware. There, if you think of things as a continuum, you've got the minor problem, normal disciplines, you know, that you would handle. You've got the major. There's somebody that's coming through the door making threats. We're calling 911. But that middle ground, the one that you identified, it becomes a little bit more complicated. And so we divide that into three areas, guarded, elevated, and severe. And depending upon where you are, you take different actions in the interventions would come in, and you want to do it then to de-escalate it and not get to that high stage where the 911 is the only answer. We did a survey in New York of businesses there. 64% of the businesses in the state of New York call 911 each year. Of that, we found several that had called 100 times. That's twice a week. Hmm. If you're having to call 911 twice a week, you've got a problem. And that's not your solution.
Right. And we're talking with Jim Satterfield. He is co-founder and COO of Firestorm, a crisis management and crisis planning organization. Let's talk about cybersecurity. That's a big deal these days. Technology is growing, and there's people trying to get into your network and server from all around the world. How do you protect yourself there?
Well, there are two levels to look at. There's one is the prevention, keeping it out, and there's a lot of really smart people working on that. And obviously, that's continually changes. And every time you put up a defense, the bad guys find a new way in. We're about to see all our credit cards change with chips coming in.
That's coming up later this year. That's right, mandatory.
And soon the bad guys will have a way around chips, and then we'll go through another round to move forward. But the other thing is the identification and response once you've seen that the breach has occurred. Most companies don't have those plans in place. They focus so long on defense, they forget about what the offense is that they're going to be putting in keep the sports analogy there. And so knowing that, the FBI says there are two kinds of companies, those that have been breached and know it, and those that have been breached and don't know it. Mm. And the average time that a company finds out that they've been breached is 240 days later. So think about your home. You've got a kitchen sink. Imagine that sink was leaking heavily for 8 months before you happen to notice. And then when you open the door underneath the sink, you see mold, mildew, rot, and damage throughout your house. And so you've got to be prepared to have those messages and take those actions quickly.
Let's say I'm a growing organization and I know I need help on a lot of different areas. Is that what Firestorm does? You'll give us a plan for each situation, environmental, cybersecurity, personnel, all of that?
And some of those are integrated together, but clearly at the top level in the company, the ability to identify that a crisis is occurring or is imminent. Because if we take those actions at that time, almost everything you find out in the first 24 hours is wrong. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be forced to make decisions based upon wrong information. We did a two virtual exercises this week, one for schools and one for businesses. We had 316 businesses that sat through a 90-minute exercise and had their teams around the tables in conference rooms going through making decisions. What do they know? What are they concerned about? What are their actions? What are they going to monitor? And what are they going to communicate? And they identified problems before it happened. There's two ways to test a plan. Wait for the crisis. It'll be a good test. Mm-hmm. Or test it in advance and be prepared.
Right. And so Firestorm, talk a little bit about the business side of things. This is Georgia Business Radio. Is this a one-time thing? They come to Firestorm, you charge the client a certain price, or do you provide ongoing support?
Well, we welcome money at any time.
Of course.
That's not a particular problem. We have no rule that says, oh, you paid us last year, you can't pay us again this year. We are a crisis coach. In fact, as you think about what we do annually, that plan needs to be updated. You've added a division. You've had an acquisition. You've deleted something. You have new employees. You need to test that plan. The plans that you put in place for the Y2K probably aren't the same as what your company is doing today. All that food that you stored then is probably a little bit out of date. I'm not sure you want your people eating it and looking at it. And then there are new emerging threats. Imagine a few years ago when we had the swine flu that emerged, or the Ebola threat from last year. Their communicable illness is a significant exposure, and most companies don't have communicable illness plans. So you want to be continually updating to align in what you do. As your next guest is going to talk about money and lending money, due diligence is done on making sure that those events are this person's credit worthy. They have the financial resources. Similarly, disaster due diligence is how will they react if, in fact, a problem occurs within their business.
Oh, that makes total sense. So you can help identify the problem up front, put a plan together, help that plan evolve as their business grows and as the world grows, help them stay current with their crisis management plan.
And when it happens, to be there to help them with the decisions. We handled cannibalism a couple of years ago at a U.S. university. Did you follow that?
No, sir. Tell me about that one.
Well, normally when somebody gives me that answer, I go, thank you. Think about that. That's a state university in the United States of America where it was cannibalism in a major U.S. city, and you don't know about it.
Well, because I guess it never hit the media.
Well, it was only minor media in that town. And the key is when we were called in, the president of the university wanted to hold a press conference.
You said no.
Could you imagine a press conference on cannibalism?
Well, that would have been all over major cable news networks.
And so one of the things that we do, we certainly communicate, but there's sometimes when you don't need to communicate. So having the proper messages at the proper time become the absolutely critical element.
That's interesting. Now I'm going to have to go Google that later to see what I can find out.
I can tell you more.
All right. More for another show. Rich, what do you think about
that? Did he say cannabis?
Yeah, no, cannibalism.
Cannibal. Okay, yeah.
That was why you were on the break. I remember seeing it.
Cannabis goes on at every major university all day long.
There's no need to cover that in the media. Yeah,
that's right.
Quick question. What's the balance of this big brother technology that you're kind of describing versus that preemptive approach or strategy, right?
Well, if it's in a public domain, let's say I didn't like Radio X, why that would ever happen.
Hypothetically.
You'd be the only one.
Jim, you're walking on thin ice here. Be careful. Yeah.
Well, so, and I went out there and I took a can of spray paint and wrote on the side of the building.
Okay.
Anybody driving down Lenox Road would see that. Well, imagine if I go out and I post it on a blog, I put it in a public area, anybody who's scrolling by that page can see it. Now, we're not NSA. We also didn't have a few trillion dollars to invest into technology to pull these elements together. But if we go out, it's knowing what you're looking for. We're working with a school right now that will, in all likelihood, be making some decisions about staffing in that school and allowing some people to move on and go elsewhere. And they had done some Google searches and identified something and couldn't see anything. We, in turn, started looking at what was out there and found a completely different side to that person than anybody had seen. And if you're running a school, there are certain things you don't want your head of school to be doing, saying, or showing at this point. And so that's what we do and perform. And it's available that could be done for just a few hundred bucks a month.
Wow.
Compared to a few trillion. If we work for the government, we could charge more.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also that investing those funds up front to prevent a catastrophe or a cataclysmic event internally within, like you're talking about, cyber issues, or just with employee issues, or loss of revenue at a business from all standpoints.
Yeah. When you wake up and you open the front door and you see the remote TV van with a camera at the front of your home or your office, that's probably not going to be one of your best days ever. And inappropriately, if it bleeds, it leads. And finding those controversies are what is out and drives the area. So anything we can do to prevent that to happen, you can't unring a bell.
Right.
So if we can make differences in doing that, it's going to be a lot cheaper than before. The old Ben Franklin, a stitch in time saves nine.
And there's certain disasters that happen naturally that other areas of the country are more prone to. I mean, here in Atlanta, we're not worried about volcanoes, but you know, we are worried about tornadoes, right?
Yes,
and tornadoes, so that's something you got to have a plan for.
Tornadoes and again, hurricanes along the coast. We've got the one that's coming into Florida as we speak, and those elements would come through. If we were talking to people in California, we'd be looking at specifically earthquakes.
Speaking of other areas, regions, where do most of your focus in terms of clients or interaction take place?
We're national. We're set up with a core group of employees. We have 100 nationally recognized experts that provide strategic advice, retired U.S. Surgeon General, military general, supply chain experts, food safety, product recall. Then we have an expert solutions board that are tactical. They would go out and do site inspections, write plans. So we're a large employer of retired Secret Service and FBI. And then the outer ring are our franchisees. That's why Jim Squire was on.
Okay.
We're a franchisor. So they're the local face of Firestorm in the market.
In other markets. So how many markets roughly are y'all?
Right now we're in 15 markets.
Oh, wow.
And I imagine there's a public relations side of that, too, as well, helping people coach what to say, what not to say, when to speak, when not to speak.
Right. And there is a difference between crisis public relations and public relations. Mm-hmm. When you think about public relations, you're trying to get as much word out to as many people as you can. In a crisis, we may not be wanting to get as much word out to as
That's
many people.
That's when no comment comes into play, right?
We never say no comment.
It's funny because we had somebody on the air recently a while back. I don't know if they were I think they were a PR. And they said that is the kiss of death, potentially, right?
Well,
What's your thought pattern on that?
Well, here,
and then I conclude my line of questioning and back to the show.
Okay. Well, I think there's if somebody wants to steal something, here's three great things that you can steal. If you find yourself in a bad event, the first thing you want to do is say, we're not going to be defined by whatever that is. Number two, you're going to say, we're going to invent the future. So if you had a problem, we're going to be the safest company. We're going to be the best company. We're going to make sure that this type of thing doesn't happen again. So you're talking about the future, not the past. And the last is that your hearts go out to the families and everyone that's involved. If it's a company that's gone down, then those employees have lost jobs. If someone's been hurt, it's a family member. Remember that every crisis is a human crisis. If we take that approach, that's how we transform crisis into value.
Sounds like Firestorm has got it covered and got you covered. If you need help, make sure you do reach out to Jim Satterfield. How could folks do that if they need to?
Well, they can find us on Twitter at Firestorm Soul. They can go to our website, firestorm.com, or they can send me an email at jsatterfield@firestorm.com.
And you're located here in the Atlanta area?
At Roswell, just up the road.
Nice. In Roswell there, so a good local company. And again, Jim Satterfield with Firestorm. He is there for all your crisis management and crisis planning needs. So please reach out to him if need. Please stick around, Jim.
Thank you.
As we turn our attention now to John Parisi. He is head of customer marketing. As a head of customer marketing at Cabot, John is responsible for leading relevant and meaningful strategies that drive mutual value both for customers and for Cabot. Prior to joining Cabot, John was a client strategy partner with Our Dialogue, which he led client projects focused on loyalty program development, customer experience, and CRM with a range of clients, including Kimpton Hotels and Restaurants, Autotrader.com, Mannheim, Mariel, and PGA of America. How you doing, John?
Very well, thank you.
All right, very good. So you got a quite accomplished background for such a young guy. Tell us about your backstory. Where are you from, and then what brought you to Cabbage?
Yeah, so I'm from Chicago originally, and moved out to Boston after college, and then I worked up there for about 6 years in the nonprofit sector. Actually, wanted to make a switch into the business side of the world. Moved south, went to University of North Carolina, got an MBA. Mm-hmm. Moved further south, came down to Atlanta. So then I was working with Our Dialogue, also a company here in Atlanta, a small marketing consulting firm. And then about a little over a year ago, started up with Cabbage in the customer marketing team.
Very interesting. And Atlanta's, what's your thoughts there on the business culture here in the Atlanta area?
Oh, Atlanta's been great. I really enjoy working here. Have a lot of friends from business school who've come down here. You have a really nice mix of really large, Fortune 500 companies here. Mm-hmm. And then you also have a lot of really cool, innovative technology companies, small startups that are doing some really exciting things.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We see startups in the studio all the time, and we're currently reading about them on some of these online publications. But tell us how Cabbage is helping some of these young startups or emerging businesses.
Right. So Cabbage provides a line of credit product to small businesses of up to $100,000. Once a business gets qualified and once they have access to those funds, it's up to them when and how they want to use it. And they can access those funds whenever. So everything's done online or through your mobile app. Jim, you just showed your phone. So everything, we can do everything online or with your phone.
No.
Yep. Cabbage, as far as supporting small businesses, our mission from day one really was to make it easier and to remove a lot of the hurdles that small businesses face in terms of getting access to capital.
And when you talk about the qualification part of it, can it be any business, any space that they're serving the community?
Absolutely. The only requirement we really have is that you should be in business for at least a year.
Okay.
After that, anyone really.
Whether it's technology, whether you're
absolutely
providing professional services of some kind, if you're a small business and you need funding to help you grow or to reinvest in the business, that's what Cabbage can do.
Absolutely. So our customer base, when Cabbage was started in 2010, it was really lending to just smaller online sellers. So eBay sellers, Amazon sellers. I shouldn't say small. Some of them are actually very, very large established businesses. And then in the last couple of years, we started taking on offline businesses. And so if you look at the type of customer that's coming to Cabbage now, the type of small business owner, it's a lot of professional services companies, probably very similar to the folks we have here in the room. A lot of retail businesses still, a lot of construction companies, actually. So we really do cover a pretty wide range of industries.
And so let's talk again about the qualification process. You go online, you have certain forms you fill out, make sure you hit all the points that qualifies them. And then what's the turnaround time of how long they can get approved?
Yeah, actually, so you said there's forms to fill out.
No.
Not exactly. Like I said, we try to remove a lot of the hurdles that a small business customer faces in trying to get access to funds. Mm-hmm. And so the traditional lending process is you would go to a bank, you would fill out a lot of forms.
Right.
You'd have to provide a lot of documentation. That is a frustrating process. It takes a lot of time. And ultimately, for a lot of our customers, a lot of rejection from larger banks. And so with us, it's actually done all online. There's a real simple bit of information about your business. And then the way we do our underwriting is you link your business checking account or any other kind of channel that you're doing business. And once you do that, we can instantly develop a pretty good picture of what your business is doing and how it's performing and how we think it's going to perform. Mm-hmm. And then it's really done in a matter of minutes. So
is that right?
Yeah. So 7 to 10 minutes, probably.
You can get approved the money almost immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. And so once you get qualified and you see how much you're qualified for, you can get access to those funds instantly. So if you can transfer funds via PayPal, and that'll end up in your PayPal account immediately. If you transfer funds to your business checking account, it takes usually about 1 to 3 days.
And let's talk about how, are you charging a percentage to the folks? I mean, how do you, Cabbage, make money?
Right. So it's actually a very simple fee structure. So we don't charge a typical APR like a loan product typically looks like, but it's a fee structure. The loan term is 6 months long. And you pay back 1/6 of your loan for all 6 months. And then each month there's a fee tacked on to the payment. And so that fee ranges for the first 2 months from about 1 to 12%. On average, our customers are like 3 to 4% though. And then on the final 4 months, it's 1%. So when you go to take a loan, that whole repayment structure is laid out there pretty simply and pretty clearly for you. There's no hidden fees or anything like that. And then one of the huge benefits that Kavage offers is that if you pay back your loan early, you don't get charged any of those additional fees. So as soon as you pay back your loan, the fees are waived.
Oh, that's interesting. So not your traditional, you know, percentage rate that most lenders may do, and you certainly can make some money when the loan is repaid, and that is how Kavage can continue to help. And I recently saw that you released a lot more money out there to start helping small businesses. That was a press release that came across the email, and that's very interesting that you're continuing to help so many businesses, but with so much money to be able to help them. I think that's great.
Yeah, and we've been growing a lot. So, I mean, about a year and a half ago, we started making lines available of up to $100,000. And what's cool about our product is that it is a line of credit. So once you pay that back, you can just go back and take more money whenever is needed. So whether it's time to make an investment in your business or to help, you know, carry the momentum going during maybe a slower part of the year.
And we're talking with John Parisi. He's head of customer marketing for Kavage Inc., providing financing technology and data company that provides funding directly to small business and consumers. How does business find you these days? Are you guys actively out there marketing? Are you promoting yourselves in networking events? How does business find you?
Oh, yeah. We're definitely investing a lot in terms of getting the word out there. You know, I think the primary way a lot of our customers still find us is Google.
Okay.
Right? So they will, and I should back up, you know, still today, the first place small businesses go when trying to look for funds is to the bank they do their personal
banking. Their community bank or their national bank, whatever it may be.
Right. And so, and it is a very consistent theme we hear from our customers is that it was a negative experience for them. And so when they, you know, where do you go? You go to Google. You type in small business loan or something like that into Google. And then pops up Kavage. And so once you start to evaluate all your different options, we think you'll find us to be pretty simple, pretty efficient in terms of providing capital to your business.
Well, we would certainly love to help you further that mission here at Business Radio X and help you get the word out and about how businesses can find you. We see small business owners in here all the time, whether it's the startup cupcake lady or somebody out there who's taking their business to the next level. I think we can definitely help you get that word out about the mission of Kavage.
Yeah, Rich Casanova, wearing the hat of producer engineer here this morning on Georgia Business Radio. And John, speaking like what Ryan has mentioned, we've had a lot of people come through like in crowdfunding and attempts at that. And it's a whole lot more moving parts. And it people just think it's relatively easy. I'll just create a Kickstarter or a Indiegogo website, put up a video, and people start sending me cash, right? But they forget it's, you know, they're there for funding, but they forget the crowd. A lot of times they don't have the crowd, right?
You got to have the crowd first, and the funding may follow.
But that's, I think, an interesting play, because those folks that are in business are looking for, you know, funding for the next project, and maybe they can't, they're not at the point for angel investors, or they can, this is another avenue. So along this line, you mentioned there is new funding that's been released. Are you guys self-funded, or what's on y'all's end? How do you generate those revenues, or is it internally from the
So we partner with actually a bank out in Utah that helps fund all of our loans.
Okay.
You brought up all these different types of businesses and the way they're trying to seek funding.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, every small business has an option, like when they're looking to grow their business, right? I mean, I think the majority still dip into their personal finances.
Yeah,
that's like the first place they go. There's always alternatives. I mean, there's credit cards, there's traditional loans. But you know, I think for Kavage, it makes just a lot of sense to qualify, try to get access to this line of credit. There's really no downside. So typical banks, if you have a larger line of credit, there's a carry fee.
Right.
So you'll get charged even if you don't use it. With us, you don't get charged. So you can just hang on to it. You know it's there. That provides a little bit of added security for your business.
And, go ahead, Rich.
As I say, so I'm just making some notes here. So correct me if I'm wrong. So you need to be in business at least a year or more.
Mm-hmm.
Check. We're in the radio business, so a year plus. So I can just send you a text and then you'll put cash like in my account, or you need my mailing address, or how does that
well,
simple,
yes,
but not quite that simple. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so when you go on our site to apply, I mean, you'd provide some basic information about your business, name of the business, where you're located, your email address, of course. And then once you qualify, the funds transfer directly into your account. So
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's an incredibly simple process. The platform is really powerful. And you can transfer it to your account through the website or through a mobile app. The mobile app is really interesting. I mean, it is a convenience factor, but we actually have a lot of retail customers who may be looking for inventory on the road. They may have, like, be able to get a really good deal if they're able to get...
If they can act... A lot of business, it's about being being nimble, right? And
exactly.
Making it happen, yeah.
Exactly. So we just provide another option in terms of ways to get access to those funds.
Okay, last question. I'll turn it back over to our host here. But Cabbage, what's the story behind the name? Or didn't you already answer that while I was doing social media or something? Everybody looked at me.
No. So I mean, I think the story I heard is just essentially that Cabbage is... Cabbage with a C is slang for cash, another slang word for cash. And then the K was just our founder's way of putting their own little quirk.
And the .com was available. Yeah.
Probably.
That's half of it right there.
Yeah.
And I was a part of an interview of the founder of Cabbage in the City Spring studio. He came in there about a year or so ago. So a very interesting story, definitely an interesting startup. But you're beyond that now. You're really taking it to the next level. What's the future of Cabbage? Where do you see the business growing over the next year or more?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to continue to grow. You mentioned earlier we were on that Inc. 500 list in terms of fastest growing companies. We just crossed $1 billion in terms of loans.
That's huge, right?
It's really exciting. And it's not just the dollar amount, but it's actually how quick we got there, which is really exciting for us.
What's the time frame?
Oh, so it's really in the last 5 years is how long we've been doing that. But most of the growth has happened over the last two, I'd say. Mm-hmm. So last year... 2014, we lent about $350 million. We expect to do about $1 billion this year alone. And so I don't expect us to slow down. I don't think anyone's looking at that Inc. number 36 fastest growing company and thinking, all right, we're ready. We're good.
Yeah, right.
let's just pack it up. No, we're going to continue to grow. As far as how we're going to grow, I think what's exciting for us is that we feel like we've barely scratched the surface in terms of the market. So we've lent $1 billion to maybe around like 50,000 small businesses. If you look at how many small businesses are out there under 20 employees, it's like 12 million small businesses. And all those small businesses are looking to grow. One of the things I love about working in customer marketing at Cabbage is that you get to work with all these really passionate interesting small businesses. And if you ever talk to them, I think one of the things that's pretty consistent around small business owners is that they're pretty optimistic, crazy optimistic in a lot of ways. So you ask them, like, what's your outlook for the next year? And everyone's like, oh, we're going to triple sales this year. No one ever feels like, oh, this is going to be a down year for us. So it's cool. So I think all these small business owners are really optimistic, and they have big plans for how they want to grow. And everyone's going to need capital to do it. So I feel like there's just, you know, a ton of opportunity for us to continue to grow.
Well, continue the good work over there. I know small business is driving this nation's economy, and Cabbage is supporting small business. So you are just at the epicenter of changing the world out there today. And please let us know how we can further help you. Come back on the show, be another guest. You know, let us know how we can help you get the word out and continue the good work of Cabbage. Please let our listeners know how they can find out more information or apply for funds from Cabbage.
Right. So the best way is just to go to our website. It's www.cabbage.com, and it's Cabbage with a K. And you can find out all about us. We're all over social media as well. Mm-hmm. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Okay. So very good. Well, please do come back and let's continue this conversation. Just a fascinating story, and definitely enjoyed hearing it from your perspective. But please stick around as we now turn our attention to Candy Cross. She is the ghostwriter. You talk, I write. Nonfiction ghostwriting services. She's been a writer and editor for over 20 years and has collaborated on over 70 books for executives, entertainers, and other extraordinary individuals. Prior to establishing her agency, You Talk, I Write, Candy directed communications programs for companies such as Bank of America, Merchant Services, and Institute of Industrial Engineers. She specializes in writing autobiographies, business books, and self-help books with contemporary themes. Welcome to the show, Candy Cross.
Thank you so much.
All right. Our pleasure. Right. So you've been writing as we've been sitting here. You got a book in the works? What's going on?
I will be writing the corporate history of Buckhead Business Radio X.
Oh, that's my next book. Yeah, that's going to be fiction novel, though. Maybe your first fiction work. But very interesting. Tell us a little more about your backstory. You were in the corporate world for 20 years doing some writing in that. Are you naturally a writer, a reader, or just lover of books overall?
Definitely a few aspects there.
Okay.
So I have always been a writer and reader my entire life since I was probably 2 years old.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a young
age. I always knew that I wanted to work in books in some facet. But I actually started my education is in classical literature and journalism. Hmm. So I started in newspaper reporting. That was my beginning. And I realized I was working with so many intriguing figures that were my interview subjects for articles and cover stories, that then we would have further conversations about how to get their story out there in books. So that's the ghostwriting.
And you got started in ghostwriting. That must have been a difficult jump, though, kind of into the entrepreneurial world. What was that like?
Actually, not that difficult, and it's still in progress, I think.
Okay.
Because I am looking to expanding with two different writers, actually, that would take the formula that I have developed and write some of the life stories of the people that are coming to me. I've talked to four prospects in the past 2 weeks. Storytelling is exploding in the way that I think is more modernized with, of course, social media and mm-hmm. other vehicles to tell your story. It's also such a healing process to work out inner conflict. You know, there's so many advantages of writing.
Right.
Period.
Yeah. And once you write a book, not only does it generate content for your cause or who you are, but it kind of elevates your authority a little bit. Hey, I've written a book.
No question. Absolutely. The reality is, you know, some people start out with a speaking platform, whether they are in senior management or they're a part of an executive team at a corporation. And you guys are famous for having CEOs and mm-hmm. entrepreneurs on here. And it accelerates the credibility vastly, because then you are armed with permanent content that you can leave with people or an audience and accrue more clientele, whatever your service or product is. And it just spans the globe that way. Stories live on.
That's right. And they stay permanent online or on your bookshelf. It could be accessed time and time again if you want to revisit it for some more inspiration or learn more about that individual. But what characteristics or skills do you bring to the table that other ghostwriters may not?
Definitely empathy.
Okay.
It is a very emotional process for people. Sometimes I am literally the first person that someone is coming to share some of the tidbits from there, whether it be child, you know, family makeup or corporation that they've developed these techniques or processes or have improved a company and they want to share it for the first time. They're just not sure how to get the message out there, of course. So again, empathy and letting someone know that their story matters. It doesn't, you know, you don't have to compare yourself to someone else or a bestseller or someone that has just completely overtaken the globe with franchises and things like that. It's everyday people like you and I.
Right. And I think my story would be a bestseller if I were to write a book. I've lived a life most men only dream of. And we're only touching the tip of the iceberg here on Georgia Business Radio today. So, but walk me through what that process would be like. I mean, would we meet on a regular basis, or we just kind of lock ourselves in a room for a day and write it all at once? Or how does that writing the book process evolve?
Yeah, and also just as a continuum to your first question, if I may, too, that leads mm-hmm. into the actual process, there has to be trust right up front. Yeah. There is the utmost of confidentiality. I typically, even beyond the author, there are many contacts that I'm coming into their world as well, sometimes unexpected. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're... Your friend or your manager wants to write a book and you've been chosen as a candidate to interview. They then have the choice on whether they want to remain anonymous or not. Most don't. mm-hmm. want their name out there. Yeah, whereas the author is sometimes reluctant to put their own name out there. But I, my job is to not necessarily claim any credit for it. I'm pushing someone else's story out there. So there's a lot of intimacy involved. We start typically within the first 30 days. There are many interview hours that get poured into the project. They are recorded and transcribed. So then I have the audio story. I can reflect on it. I can then build a chapter outline from that process. That is the first piece that the client sees. Mm-hmm. And they usually sign off immediately because they're just so elated that something is finally on paper that they can work with and work their vision through.
Right. And so it's so 30 days is what it usually takes. And you can just revisit some of the material you gather in that time. Or would it take longer?
Initially, the 30 days is the most taxing because someone is discussing certain things. They're pulling out medical transcripts. I've got journal entries. I open door to divorce records, things like that.
Is there anything that's not on the table, or you want to know it all, I guess? That's part of their life story. That's part of who they are. And definitely it may be kind of emotional for someone to let this be known and then potentially let the world kind of into their lives.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. You know, the reality is they decide when they meet me how this is really going to shake out. I mean, within the first couple of hours, we have worked out a concept. And based on that concept, I encourage them to share whatever material they want to share with me. And then, of course, my expertise is to break that down. And frankly, some pieces never get used. So I will contain the secret up here, and it never gets used in the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, we've interviewed quite a number of authors and writers here, and some of them have self-published. Do you recommend that in some cases?
So I do. Right now, there are so many different options to bring the story to completion and publication. So there is still the traditional route, which is quite viable. And in that case, you do need a book proposal to attract a literary agent or a publisher. In most cases, the agent is the mediator between the author and the traditional publisher. But at the same time, right now, there are 6 major publishers that own so many different smaller presses too. So it's hard to open that door. So now we've got the self-publishing route. We also have hybrid publishers to where you pay to play, in which you pay for the production, but you also get assigned a marketing and sales team. So you're both put on the bookshelf and online as an ebook. And for nonfiction authors that are business professionals, that's usually the way to go. They don't want to wait 1 or 2 years to get published. Mm-hmm. They want to get their techniques and story out there now.
So once again, you're listening to Georgia Business Radio. Rich Casanova here, your engineer, Ryan Red Hawk McPherson, your host. And we're speaking with Candy Cross, ghostwriter, which we've been intrigued when I saw that announcement come across. It's going to be on the show. So you mentioned you work in 3 areas, autobiographies, business books, and self-help books. We talked about some of those challenges you just mentioned with people divulging all this personal information. We're business radio. So talk to us about, of the 70 books for executives, entertainers, and so forth, talk to us about some standouts in the business arena. I don't know if I want to ask you, it's like asking your favorite kid or whatever, but I've heard I'm the favorite kid in the family. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. But what are some executives you worked with or some of their stories? Or
sure. I can speak to executives.
It's all public information now. Yeah.
Well, but not names though, frankly. I mean, I do have a list of clients on my website and corporations. Like one, for instance, was from Air Force Institute. He is a scientist and engineer, but he's also a soccer coach. So he wrote a groundbreaking book in bridging the gap between mathematics and soccer play.
Oh, wow.
So that was interesting, but I have worked with several different industrial engineers and environmental scientists as well to share their corporate histories.
Yeah, because on that subject matter, you've got to make it compelling and interesting, right? So that's where maybe your skill set comes in.
The reality now for business books is the fact that people also want personal narrative. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. A lot of us follow certain business protocol anyway. And if great leaders come out of all parts of the world and all different facets, it doesn't matter what your background is sometimes or your education. you develop certain techniques within that company or while providing the service to certain clientele. There are a lot of books coming out of that, but they're also the clients that come to me are willing to pump personal narrative into that book. That's what's selling.
Right.
That's what's selling.
And you mentioned that the clients that come to you these days, how do they find you? Is it through a Google search? Are you often referred by other successful people you've ghostwritten for? How do clients find you these days?
For the past several years, they have been strictly through word of mouth and on a referral basis. And the fact of the matter is, I think I'm in Atlanta, and the South in general is just a hotbed of storytelling, but not necessarily on the ghostwriting side. Mm-hmm. So my website has done very well, I have to admit. And LinkedIn, social media has just, I'm a fan of social media in that facet, of course, because it's helped me exponentially.
Oh, definitely. And like we've said to the other guests, if we can help you here at Business Radio X, continue to get the word out or provide you, it leads to people that want to write their book, please let us know. That's what we're here to do, to help you generate more awareness for your business. And so talk about now the clients. How many are you currently working with? Is this something you do every day, or do you kind of work with one at a time? How does that process work?
Sure. Actually, right now I'm working with three clients. One is a business consultant from Nigeria. He is just a superb person and business leader that has helped many different companies in restaurant franchising, for instance, and his background is extremely intriguing. I'm also working with a local catering star who is telling both his personal story about growing up in segregated North Carolina and then how he transitioned from corporate to then catering, and now he is serving companies, mm-hmm. just this amazing Southern cuisine, and very interesting story there. I'm also working with a protective services agent. His clientele is all movie stars and dignitaries, and it's about how he uses his senses and all of our inherent gifts mm-hmm. versus technology to protect these very high profile people.
So you got three active clients that you're serving, always looking for more. So, and I do believe that, you know, if I was to sign up for a book, it'd be a bestseller and made it to a blockbuster movie too, as well. I no doubt about it. Very
and
interesting.
Who would play you?
Well, I think I'd play myself, actually, because I was made for the movie screen. So
small ego there.
Yeah, we wouldn't need Mel Gibson or anything to portray me. But so let our listeners know, Candy, how they can find out more information about you, more information if they want to sign up to be have a book published through you.
Yeah, and thank you so much for that. Mm-hmm. Also, utalkiwrite.com, and then I'm also very active on LinkedIn and Twitter, of course, as your producer is famously putting out there right now.
And a reminder, our listeners, that's Candy Words, Candy with an I, at Candy Words for Twitter, so you can find her there. And you're also on LinkedIn, Candy with an I, S Words, or S Cross, I should say, for LinkedIn. So look her up there and talk to her directly if you want to get some information.
And I also just want to add that when people come to me to discuss concepts, that is at no charge. I really want
free consultation.
Yeah, absolutely. I want people to feel comfortable. I am always open to giving education about the publishing world in general. It's a very daunting, intimidating mm-hmm. process. And unfortunately, some people that have amazing stories will never tell their stories because they don't know how to open the door to that. So I'm always here for consultations.
That's great. Rich, I think she could probably publish a pamphlet on your life. That'd be great.
Appreciate that, Ryan. Yeah.
Pamphlet. I love that word. I haven't used that word in a long time. So
they're thinking of like a business card or whatever. Yeah, on the back of my business card.
Rich's
right?
life story in a one sheet.
Yeah. So that's Candy with a C.
Yeah.
Right. Cabbage with a K. And I have a new slogan for y'all. If you're looking for new slogans,
go ahead.
It's cabbage with a K because cash is king.
Oh, right. With K's.
With a K, yeah.
Right.
Yes. And then Firestorm with an F. I don't know.
Very good. Well, let's revisit our guests here one more time before we get out, Rich. So we got Jim Satterfield, president and founder of Firestorm. You can go check out their website, firestorm.com. You can find them on Facebook, Firestorm Solutions, or follow them on Twitter at Firestorm SOL. And so when you're not managing crisis, you're not out there helping businesses, you know, get over things, what do you like to do when you're off time to kind of unwind, relax, or get refocused?
That's why God created St. Simon's Island.
Oh, yeah. That's a beautiful island on the Georgia coast. And so you like to spend time down there?
That's right. And I have been seen at Georgia Tech football game.
We got the season coming up. Absolutely. You did mention you were a graduate from that over there. And so you expecting good things out of this season?
Absolutely. Always expect. It's what you find sometimes a little different.
Right. So we certainly do encourage you to get prevention before you have to cure your crisis needs with Jim Satterfield and Firestorm. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
And we look forward to hearing more about you. So please come visit anytime. Also, want to say thank you very much to John Parisi, head of customer marketing at Cabbage. And you can go find more information about him at cabbage.com or follow them on Cabbage Inc. At Facebook and Cabbage Inc. on Twitter. And when you're not lending money to help small businesses and you're not changing the world in that fashion, what do you like to do to kind of relax, take your mind off things, and get refocused?
Oh, well, I have a one-year-old.
Oh, well, so there is no downtime.
Yes, that's what I mean. That's it's consuming my life right now.
Right.
His birthday is Sunday, so it's very exciting. He's turning one.
Happy one-year birthday to your son.
Yeah.
Very good. So spend a lot of time with family.
A lot of family time around.
Priority.
Atlanta. Yeah.
Any other hobbies you like to do? Are you out there jogging or climbing trees? What do you like to do?
I've been playing golf for a really long time.
Okay.
Yeah. I started out as a caddy when I was a kid, and I've just like stuck with it ever since.
So you're a golfer.
Yeah, love it.
Right,
yeah.
You get to play regularly?
Not anymore, because I have a one-year-old.
Yeah, that's right. Well, maybe setting up a putt-putt green in your living room or doing some pitching wedge in the backyard.
I just need him to like turn maybe at least 8, and I can bring him out on the course.
There you go. That's good. Well, thank you for joining us, and please do come revisit us here in the studio when you have some more successes to share about Cabbage and continue the good work there. And small business can really use your services. There's no doubt that if you want to take your small business to a large business, you need funding and you need good people like Cabbage Inc. helping you out. So thank you, John, for joining us.
And that's Caddy with a C, or?
Yeah.
That's right.
Right. And Candy, when you're not writing and other people's stories, what about you? What do you like to do to kind of take your mind off things or refocus?
Definitely love the theater, any visual arts that feeds that part of
the movie theater or the plays.
Both, but mainly theater, Broadway,
okay.
We were just talking about sports earlier. I was like, please don't ask me any questions about sports.
Well, if we ask you a question about Broadway, you know.
I think so.
What's your favorite musical?
Wicked.
Wicked?
Yeah, okay. That was a quick answer, yes.
That's
definitely Wicked.
Right.
Just recently saw Rent, though, this past weekend. That was phenomenal here at Actors Express.
Okay.
Just to give a plug in to them. And I also work out a lot. I do kickboxing, tennis, hiking.
All right, stand down now. No kickboxing.
I knew you were going to say something like that. Thanks.
Hiking's great. No, I love nature myself. I love getting out on the trail. I got a dog I spend a lot of time with. We're always found somewhere on some back trail on the weekends, and that's always enjoyable for me, just kind of communing with nature.
I love Georgia for that. There is always somewhere new to explore and...
No, I want to do a feature show on Georgia and the outdoor community that we have here on Georgia Business Radio. I'd love to get in some people from North Georgia, the travel tourism department, and just, you know, the coast, as Georgia is famous for, the Golden Isles. I think it's beautiful down there. I've spent a lot of time down there myself. And you're right. There is so much to offer here from a nature's perspective in the state of Georgia.
Well, I belong to Atlanta Outdoor Club.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually several thousand members, and they're are literally several different ventures that you could get into on a daily basis, 365 days a year. Their leaders are top-notch.
Yep.
I joined that club about 3 years ago, and it's been so rewarding.
I've seen them on meetup.com and have thought about, you know, going to one of their outings, and it may have just spurred me to go actually sign up for one. So
Awesome. Thanks
for the inside tip. And thank you to all our guests in studio today for making this happen. Also, thank you to our sponsors today, AtlantaBusinessNetworking.com, connecting Atlanta professionals via online directory, a listing of over 200 networking events, and also OnsiteBusinessRadio.com, professional radio correspondents conducting interviews at your business event. Maybe we need to hook those two up together, the Atlanta Business Networking and the Onsite Business Radio.
Done deal. I just made it happen, yeah.
All right. Very good. Any final thoughts from you, Rich? here today on Georgia Business Radio, kind of wrapping up a good week of some great shows.
Well, I've run out of acronyms and slogans, whatever. So, but no, a great show. I mean, it's just very interesting, the conversations. And I'm going online. Right now, I've been approved for $1.50 at Cabbage, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Okay. Very good. So some lending available to help you. And so, well, thank you very much for producing a great show once again and for all you do for the Buckhead Business Radio X. And just remind our listeners, if your company is doing something interesting to serve your market, your community, and your profession, reach out to us directly on the contact page at buckheadbusinessradiox.com and pitch us your story. Thank you to, again, Rich Casanova. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.